Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you've been hearing, Mayor Bloomberg is about to hold a news conference in which he is expected to announce that the very short Kathy Black era is over in the New York City public schools. She was just appointed on November 9th. Deputy Mayor Dennis Wolcott, who's been Deputy Mayor for Education and Community Development for the entire Bloomberg administration, is said to be taking over as chancellor. WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig is on the line with us from New Orleans, as it happens, where there is an education conference, and almost everybody involved in education reporting in New York City is apparently there, not here right now. So hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. You think they waited till you were all out of town to make this announcement?
I don't want to put that much of a conspiracy theory into play right now.
Are you shocked?
There are a few reporters left in New York. There's especially plenty of City Hall reporters, which is where the story is originally coming from anyway, not from the Department of Ed.
Of course. Did you see this coming? Was this a failure in motion?
You know, I would have expected that she wasn't doing very well. The poll numbers confirm that. She was obviously struggling in this job. But Mayor Bloomberg is a very stubborn person. And when he is sure of something, he's sure of it. And so I guess what I'm surprised by is that he would admit defeat, so to speak, because it's only been 3 months, Brian. And there's a huge learning curve for this job. And he had insisted all along that he wasn't appointing an educator. He was appointing a manager. So for this to happen so swiftly is what's really stunning to me, because he could continue to argue that she's not an educator, she's a manager, and the public still doesn't even know her very well, is what the polls were also showing. So I really don't know what the inside story is yet. I just find it very surprising that a mayor who is so committed to his vision, to saying that it's all about being a good manager, would retreat from somebody who he said epitomized that.
And we, of course, don't know what they'll say, assuming she is actually stepping down, whether she'll say this is for personal reasons, there's an illness in her family or herself. I mean, we don't know if she's going to admit that she wasn't up to this. Obviously, many a politician has resigned to spend more time with his or her family. I don't know if they're going to resort to that or not.
Exactly. We don't know what's going on. And I don't even want to speculate on that right now. When I saw Kathy Black, it was almost 2 weeks ago that I finally got a sit-down interview with her, and I said, you know, do you plan to be here 3 years from now? And she said, absolutely. And she told me what her goals were. And she was, you know, continuing to repeat the, you know, what we could only say were really talking points, because she's been repeating them all along, and she's been very affirmative about raising graduation rates, increasing community involvement with parents, and improving the schools and the reforms that Bloomberg and Klein had started. So she continued to say that again and again and again throughout the past few months, and she seemed very committed to it when I saw her last. But I will say that I did get the feeling that it was not a very good job fit, that she was not a person who seemed, passionate about education, that it wasn't an area that she knew much about, and so she was doing a lot of catching up on it. That's not to say she couldn't have grown into the job, but when I saw her, she did seem quite awkward in her interactions with the students at the school that I attended, in questions that she's, you know, responded to from myself and other reporters. She seemed to very much stay on her script. But that's also a political strategy that City Hall was orchestrating, and that, you know, they felt very protective about her. And so I could see where that was coming from.
Also with us as we await the mayor is Elizabeth Green, reporter and editor for Gotham Schools, independent website that reports on the public schools in New York City. She is also at this conference in New Orleans. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Brian. Nice to talk to you.
Have you been able to do any instant reporting from down there or anybody else on your team to find out why this might be happening after just 149 days?
Yes. I've been able to make some phone calls and talk to some people inside the Department of Education. My sense is that the decision seems not to have come from the Department of Education, of course, but from City Hall. Everybody who worked at the top levels with Kathy Black was, my understanding is that as you know, recently as yesterday, they were planning events with her for today. So this is just as surprising as her announcement was. At the same time, I'm hearing a lot of relief. I'm hearing people saying that there's a lot of work to be done, and it seems like she was becoming a distraction. Her low public approval ratings and her gaffes and the politics that were beginning to surround her relationships with the community were becoming a distraction. I'm hearing from the work of, you know, the work that the department wants to carry on.
There was just a poll. Was it a New York One poll that came out this week and found her approval rating at 17%? And there
Brian, that was New York One and Marist College. And a few weeks before that, Quinnipiac did a poll that found the exact same low approval rating of 17% for Kathy Black.
And apparently low approval from her high-ranking deputies because there had been a number of high-profile resignations from near the top of the Department of Education. John White, a deputy chancellor for the New York City Department of Education. Eric Nadelstern, a deputy chancellor who oversaw the creation of the decentralized management system under Bloomberg. Elizabeth Shabara, who managed the intricate system of admissions and school choice. Santiago Taveras, a deputy chancellor who rose through the ranks of the city school system and was in charge of community engagement. Santiago Taveras just resigned on Monday. So do we conclude, Beth, that she really did not have the confidence of even the top people who were supposed to be working on education with her?
No, I would not conclude that. I think each of those were different cases, especially with John White, whose announcement was made yesterday. John White is 35 years old. He's gone through a lot of specialized training programs to become a school superintendent. He was just offered the post of heading the recovery district in Louisiana, which is one of the most high-profile jobs in the country right now in education. So I don't believe that his resignation had anything to do with Kathy Black. I don't know about Santiago Taveras, who was in charge of real community the real community face of the DOE. He took a job in the private sector. I know that, this is interesting, on Monday, Kathy Black was supposed to be speaking in the Bronx, and there was a huge community protest that was organized. And at the last minute, her office apparently canceled and arranged to have Santiago Taveras go instead. So they did not want to put her in a situation where she would be facing a bunch of hostile protesters in the Bronx. So, you know, her image control was definitely working there.
And Elizabeth, if it didn't work, why didn't it work? There's nothing inherent about a person from business not being able to come and run a school system. Michelle Rieck, she was very controversial, but nobody would say she was incompetent, you know, famously ran the Washington, D.C. Schools and managed it toward reforms. So if it didn't work, why didn't it work?
Well, I think that one sentiment around Kathy Black is that there's a desire for these transformative school leaders in districts across the country, right? There's a desire in New Orleans, there's a desire in Chicago, but the idea has been, how can you get someone who both can manage a large, complicated system and has educational expertise? And the criticism of Kathy Black from the start is that she doesn't know anything about education when she starts. She walks in having not ever set foot in a public school building, as far as we can tell. You know, her first observation is that you know, the schools seem clean. Her learning curve was tremendous. So while she may have had experience managing in the corporate sector, she had no public sector experience and no experience with education. So I think that, you know, the failure in terms of the working with the press and the community is a lack of knowledge about both how to communicate with community and also education itself, just not seeming ever to have a vision herself. If you look around the country, there's been huge turnover in superintendents. It might be unusual for us, right, after having Joel Klein for so many years, to see someone go so quickly, but school districts have gone through superintendents cycled through them very quickly, like a churn over the years. And those were usually, you know, either career superintendents or people who came from outside backgrounds. The new thinking is maybe we can find people who have both education expertise and management expertise. And, you know, interestingly, that's what Dennis Walcott sort of offers.
The deputy mayor for education through the entirety of the Bloomberg administration, who is now expected to be named the next chancellor. If you're just joining us, we are covering Mayor Bloomberg's news conference, expected to begin any time now, at which he is expected to announce the resignation of Kathy Black as school's chancellor only 149 days after it was announced. And we'll continue with that coverage in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and come on out tonight for our latest First Principles debate between Demos and the Ayn Rand Institute. It's a free event at 6 o'clock this evening at the Skirball Center for the Arts at NYU. The topic tonight will be freedom, for whom and from what, about liberal and conservative notions of freedom in our democracy. Free tickets are available through our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And while you're on the site, you can take our Freedom Quotes quiz. It's fun. See if you know who said memorable things about freedom. See some movie clips that we've posted that refer to freedom, and see our listeners' collection of freedom haikus. And again, for free tickets to tonight's freedom debate, go to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, or just show up 6 p.m. at the Skirball Center, 566 LaGuardia Place at NYU, as I'll be moderating guests from Demos and the Ayn Rand Institute. We are expecting Mayor Bloomberg's news conference to announce the resignation of Kathy Black as New York City Schools Chancellor in about 2 or 3 minutes, we are told. WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig is with us. Elizabeth Green is with us from the website Gotham Schools. And Joyce Pernick, WNYC political analyst, is also with us now. And Joyce, what an embarrassing, maybe humiliating moment this could potentially be for Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah, it's probably not his strongest. On the other hand, it reminds me of something I read that LaGuardia said, which is, when I make a mistake, it's a beaut. He's done a very quick turnaround on this. It was a mistake. It was a big mistake. And I don't think there's any doubt about it. And he hasn't stuck with her. And that, you know, his ability to turn around after making a mistake, I guess we have to respect.
Was it a Bloombergian mistake in the sense that it represents, oh, and now the mayor is beginning, so we take you live to City Hall.
Okay.
Before. And I think that's a testament to our teachers, our principals, our administrators, parents, and most especially our 1.1 million school children. Every time they raise the bar, they have risen to the challenge. As we know, our public school system is an incredibly difficult job. 3 months ago, Kathy Black became school's chancellor after a highly successful career in the private sector, and I think she has done an admirable job putting herself into the work, and she has worked tirelessly to learn all the in and outs of the system, and I have nothing but respect and admiration for her and for the work that she has done. She loves New York, and she wants to do what's right for the families and students that we serve. She and I met this morning, and we have mutually agreed that it is in the city's best interest if she steps down as chancellor. I will say I take full responsibility for the fact that this has not worked out as either of us had hoped and expected. But now it is time to look forward, not back, and ensure that we don't waste a single one of the 999 days that we have left. And so today I'm pleased to announce the selection of a new chancellor, a gentleman who has been part of every successful education reform we have made over the past 9 years, Deputy Mayor Dennis Walcott. Now, there's no one who knows New York City public schools and the challenges that we are confronting today better than Dennis. For almost 30 years, from the time he began his career as a kindergarten teacher through his current position as Deputy Mayor, Dennis Walcott has devoted his life to working on educational and youth services issues. Dennis's experience with our public schools began as a student. He attended PS 36, JHS 192, and Francis Lewis High School. And he is the first in his family to attend college, and he has earned two master's degrees, one in education and one in social work. He spent 2 years in the classroom teaching kindergarten in Southeast Queens. He founded the Frederick Douglass Brother-to-Brother Mentoring Program, and he's also spent 3 years as a foster care worker. For 12 years, he led the New York City Urban League, where I met him, and where he expanded the organization's education and youth services programs, including efforts to promote attendance, prevent students from dropping out, and develop public-private partnerships that brought resources to poor families and communities. And during that time, he also served on the city's Board of Education. When I met Dennis during the 2001 campaign, after winning the election, I asked him to join our administration as a deputy mayor overseeing education from City Hall. And over the past 9 years, Dennis has been a key part of all of our education reform initiatives and a leader in implementing them and ensuring their success. From ending social promotion to developing the largest school construction program in the city's history, to supporting more school options for parents, to championing our efforts to engage parents and guardians. As deputy mayor, he has also overseen the Department of Youth and Community Development and the New York City Housing Authority, and he founded the Mayor's Office of Adult Education, which has promoted literacy and learning in all five boroughs. His vast experience in and a deep understanding of the many issues that face the Chancellor of New York City Schools, including issues facing diverse student populations, fiscal and budgetary matters, construction and facilities management, the importance of school-level decision-making, and the critical nature of teacher quality and what happens in the classroom. He has been involved in our schools at every level, as a student, as a teacher, as a parent, and as a deputy mayor. His children, you should know, went to our public schools, and he has a grandson now in public schools. So I think there is no better person qualified to step into the job of chancellor at this point, and no one who is more capable of extending the process our schools have made and building on the reforms that we have adopted than Dennis Walcott. Dennis, would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good morning to all of you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I want to thank the mayor for asking me to take this position. And I consider myself very blessed and very lucky to be asked. To me, I'm just a guy from Queens whose parents were raised in Harlem. My grandparents immigrated from the Caribbean, and I currently live in Queens. I'm just a city guy. And I've taught kindergarten, I've served on the old Board of Education. I have visited probably hundreds and hundreds of our schools, walked their corridors, held the hands of the students, and talked with the moms and dads. With my children, my grandson, we represent four generations of New York City public school students. To me, the great equalizer in society is ensuring that every child receives a quality education, especially a quality public education. Almost 10 years ago, I met a man who staked his reputation by fighting to gain control of the New York City public school system. And over the last 9 years, 3 months, and 7 days, to be exact, we have worked very hard to make sure we've reached that particular goal, and that man was Mayor Bloomberg. I'm a believer in what we do. I'm a believer in reform. I'm a believer in this mayor, but more importantly, I am a believer in our 1.1 million students as well. The reforms as a result of Mayor Bloomberg's leadership have benefited countless students, and now I have a simple goal: to continue that progress and reforms that his mayor has made so special to all of us, to continue to invest in our parents and to make sure they are truly partners in our efforts together. My grandson would expect no less. We are the greatest city in the world. Our residents expect our school system to be the best in the world. Finally, I want to thank the mayor again for his visionary and bold leadership. It has been an honor, a true honor, to be part of his team, to work with my fellow deputy mayors, to work with our commissioners, and more importantly, to work with students like these. Just so you know, these are students that we've developed a very close relationship with over the years. Right, guys? Yes. PS10 from Brooklyn. And PS10 and I are like a number of schools. We talk all the time. I go out to their school. And what have I promised you to do? What am I going to make you? I'm going to make them waffles. So even before this became a reality, we have a date for a week from tomorrow where I'll be out at PS10, and this is their student council, making them waffles. Students like these are all across the city. And it's our goal together, the mayor, me as chancellor, the great team at the Department of Education, the great members of this administration, to work collectively and collaboratively with our parents and our community-based organizations, our civic leaders, to ensure all of our students get a high-quality education. So, Mr. Mayor, I want to say thank you very much. It's a great honor to work with you, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
As I say to everyone that takes on new responsibilities,
here, Mr. Mayor.
I understand that. I think you know what I say. We'll be happy to take a question or two on topic. Yes, sir. Yes,
Mr. Mayor, what would you say, looking back, was it's an important hire in terms of, was there a miscalculation? And what advice would you have for the incoming chancellor in terms of dealing with the media?
Kathy and I had a conversation this morning. We both agreed that the story had become her and it should be about the students, and this is the right thing to do. We both agreed, as did Joel Klein when I talked to him, that this is the right person to take us forward, and we're going to look forward. We've got to continue the reforms. We've made enormous progress over the last 9 years. Sometimes it's been two forward, one back, but that's just in the real world. That's what you do, and we're going to continue to be as aggressive as we can and to deal with a fiscal situation that I think people don't quite understand just how serious it is. Yes, sir.
Was it a mistake to pursue?
I just said that it was. I just told you we decided that it was time to look forward. Yes, sir.
Was Deputy Mayor Walcott your first choice?
Deputy Mayor Walcott was my first choice, and he said yes when I asked him this.
We've been listening to Mayor Bloomberg announcing the resignation of Kathy Black after just 149 days following her appointment as New York City Schools Chancellor, and the appointment now of Deputy Mayor for Education, Dennis Walcott. We have a number of guests on the line to talk about this. One of them is Jim Liebman, the former Department of Education Chief Accountability Officer. Jim, thank you for coming on for this. And listening to Dennis Walcott's bio there, as he recited it, as the mayor was giving some of his credentials, in a way, he's kind of the anti-Kathy Black. He went to public school. He has a master's degree, several of them, in related fields. He was a kindergarten teacher, et cetera, et cetera. Did the mayor need to go to the anti-Kathy Black? And you know, I guess you know Dennis Walcott pretty well.
Well, I think that the mayor went to a very, very good person. I worked with Dennis. He was a daily presence at the department. He's deeply informed. He's a really quick study. And he's particularly skilled as a voice to the public and parents and community groups, which I think is a very important kind of person to have right now to get the message out to the public about the really good things that are happening in the city right now that I think in some cases have not been as clear to people as they should be.
Joyce Pernick, WNYC political analyst and biographer of Mayor Bloomberg. What were you thinking during that news conference?
I was thinking, first of all, I think the appointment of Kathy Black to begin with was very Bloombergian. He likes to do the unexpected. He likes to shock, and he certainly did that. Watching the performance today, I think he was able to turn around. It will also fit in very well, does fit in very well with his TV ads that he's trying now to boost his ratings. This had become untenable. So I think it was politically smart. And he made a whopper of a mistake, and it wasn't working. So rather than sticking by it, which he often does, he often sticks by his mistakes for a very long time before he turns around. Rather than sticking by it, I think when his political people pointed out, not that they had to, what was happening to his popularity, and that she herself, Kathy Black, was at 17%, they realized they had to extricate themselves.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, is this also a failure for the New York State Education Department? Remember, the New York State Education Department had to grant a waiver for Kathy Black to become school's chancellor because she didn't have the credentials on paper that are required under the law. And I don't know if you would say they rubber-stamped the mayor or they looked the other way or whatever, but is this a failure for the New York State Education Department?
I don't think so, because New York City is unique in that it has the mayoral control law. So Commissioner Steiner had noted in granting the waiver to Kathy Black that the mayor does have a lot of leeway in New York City. It's different than other districts. But he did require the mayor to hire a deputy chancellor chief academic officer, and that's how Shale Polakow-Saransky, the deputy chancellor, was elevated to that number two post. I'm curious right now to see what happens. Does this mean, first of all, I'm not sure if Dennis Walcott has the exact qualifications. He does have a master's degree. I don't know if he's going to need a waiver because he doesn't have a school superintendent's license or if what he has is adequate. What does this mean for the chief academic officer position? Will Shale stay in that position? Shale Saransky, a lot of other deputy chancellors have left, so I'm sure they're certainly going to need him right now. And I also think it's really interesting the whole way that that press conference was choreographed. How many times did we hear Dennis Walcott say, I'm a guy from Queens. I'm a fourth gen. You know, we have four generations in our family going to public schools. The mayor is clearly trying to change the tone right now and show, oh, I've got a local guy here now, somebody who grew up in the system. And, you know, it's also not lost on anyone that Dennis Walcott is a black man, an African-American or a Caribbean-American man who has vast ties to the communities of New York City. He was in charge of the Urban League of New York. He knows the schools really well. There were kids from PS10 in Brooklyn for that announcement. He's promising to make waffles with them. It was quite a change in the image of the DOE suddenly.
We'll see what Michelle Obama has to say about that sugary treat in the public schools. But Elizabeth Green from Gotham Schools, do you think that the failed experiment with Kathy Black at the top trickled down to education in any way that affected the children or the schools on the ground?
That's a great question, and that's the key question. I think that right now is a time of lots of changes going forward, coming from the federal government around how can we shift the curriculum, the assessments that students take. All these things are changing right now. So the key thing has been, inside the Department of Education, how can they create the best mechanisms to get that out to schools so that they can implement them in ways that actually improve education? You know, a lot of times interesting policies happen and they don't reach classrooms in a meaningful way. They just feel like another piece of bureaucracy. So if anything, the distraction of the politics around Kathy Black and the distraction inside the offices where the bureaucrats have to hand down these curriculums may have, you know, disturbed that. But my understanding is actually, I just talked to someone this morning who said, hey, I've never seen the New York City Department of Education so much on the same page. He said, in 15 years, I've never seen it so much on a one instructional agenda. And now we need to carry that out. So, you know, maybe the decision was made, you know, this is a distraction. We have an important agenda. Dennis Walcott has relationships with both school communities and the bureaucrats. So, you know, that's the key thing to look at, I think, is how are these big changes going to get into classrooms? And it may have been that she was a distraction to making that happen as smoothly and, you know,
as possible. Some reactions coming in from some of our listeners via Twitter. Jay Kerner writes, lesson of the day, Bloomberg cares more about kids' education than his reputation. Monica on Facebook, as Bloomberg reads off Walcott's credentials, it seems he should have been Klein's replacement in the first place, not Black. Jim Liebman, former Education Department Chief Accountability Officer, you know Dennis Walcott well. Do you think that there are things that he's always wanted to do with the education department? And, of course, he, as deputy mayor for education, the chancellor actually reported to him. So maybe he had a lot of power to begin with. But does this position give him the opportunity to do some things that maybe he couldn't do before?
Well, I think that Dennis was a real partner for Joel Klein while I was there, and was very much aligned with the approaches that were being taken then, both from the mayor and from Joel Klein. I think he's a very strong advocate of the need to give principals as much authority and power over what they're doing with their kids and their faculty as possible, and I'm sure he will continue that process. I also think he will want to continue the process that Elizabeth Green referred to of the transformation of the system over to the new Common Core standards that are being adopted nationally that has given this uniformity of purpose that she referred to. So I think there will be a lot of continuity.
By the way, Joyce Pernick, we've learned from the news conference that Bloomberg confirmed that Walcott is taking the salary of a deputy mayor, which he was receiving and which is lower than that of a chancellor, and that the deputy mayor job will not be filled.
No. Well, that's a problem, I think, that I have felt that there's a problem with Bloomberg's deputy mayors for a long time. I don't think they have enough authority. I think in Walcott's case, they don't have enough authority, and so the fact that he's not being replaced is kind of strange, but maybe that's being sold as a budget issue. I don't know. In Walcott's case, one thing that he also is, among the other qualities that have been mentioned here, is a pure 100% Bloomberg loyalist. He's been with him since the beginning of his administration. I don't think there's ever been a critical word out of his mouth. I'm not so sure how great that is for the schools to be candid about it. The other fact that came to me as I was watching the press conference, Bloomberg refused, at least the part that I saw, to say flat out that he made a mistake. Now, I understand he's probably trying to protect Kathy Black's reputation, but that's already in trouble.
Well, I also have this word.
He didn't do what LaGuardia did. He didn't say, when I make a mistake, it's a whopper or a doozy.
What he did say that we now have in from later in the news conference, at one point on the Black legacy, it is what it is.
Yeah, well, it's still not saying I made a mistake. He just doesn't do that. On the other hand, as I said when we began this program, I think he does have to be given credit for, even if it helps him politically, for recognizing that he made a mistake, even if he didn't say it, even if he did not say, as one of his predecessors, LaGuardia did, when I make a mistake, it's a beaut.
Joyce Pernick, Jim Lieben, Elizabeth Green, Beth Fertig for joining our coverage. Thank you all.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And that concludes
Thank
our
you.
Coverage of Mayor Bloomberg announcing the resignation of Kathy Black as New York City Schools Chancellor and the appointment of Dennis Walcott. Folks, come on out tonight for our latest First Principles debate between Demos and Ayn Rand about freedom, 6 o'clock at the Skirball Center at NYU. I'll be moderating. Coming up right after the latest news, it is the Leonard Lopez Show. This is WNYC FM and AM New York and WNYC.org. I'm Brian Lehrer.